Home. They say it's where the heart is. They also say it's wherever you make it. They don't say. It's where you unload your stuff, get tired halfway through unpacking, use some boxes as furniture, realize your oven mitt's in a box that doubles as a nightstand, don't want to buy a new nightstand, and use a towel as an oven mitt instead. But no matter where you call home, GEICO makes it easy to bundle and save on renters and car insurance. Easier than grabbing a piping hot pan with a towel that's a bit too thin and trying to quickly get it to the counter. Ooh, hot, 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 hot.
Hot summer days bring out that carefree fun, just like a caramel ribbon crunch frappuccino. It's icy smooth with layers of caramel and whipped cream, all with a crunchy caramel sugar topping. Your happy is here at Starbucks. Order ahead on the app.
Welcome to the Benzinga Cannabis Hour.
There are more people who are in favor of legalization.
I saw the benefits of it for myself.
All right. Hello, everyone. Happy midday break today from the cannabis team. Javi, what's happening?
Doing great. Special edition of Benzinga's Cannabis Hour today.
Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.
We've got some cool guest on today and some cool news. Who do we have coming on, Javi?
Indeed. Today, Tilray, NASDAQ, T-L-R-Y, again, T-L-R-Y, reported its first quarterly earnings as a consolidated company following its merger with Aphria. For reference, Tilray is the largest cannabis company in the world by revenue. And again, this was their first earnings report as a combined company. We should note, however, that the financial results include a full quarter of the old Aphria through May and just 1 month of the old Tilray, right? So it's not a complete, it does not give us a complete picture of how Tilray is looking or how it will be looking like. But it does give us some kind of idea, right? As Cantor Fitzgerald, analyst Pablo Swanich explained, it's not an apples to apples comparison,
right?
But it clearly gives us a sense of the temperature.
Yeah, side by side, you're not going to be able to pull direct results, which is clearly what Javi and obviously Pablo is referencing there. You know, still some amazing numbers when it comes to what the company's been able to achieve. Should we cover a few of those quickly, Javi? Why don't you give us a brief rundown
of some of the results?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, let's do it. So fourth quarter 2021 revenue increased by 25% to $142.2 million, up from $113.5 million in the prior year quarter. Net cannabis revenue totaled $53.7 million, representing 36% year-over-year growth. We'll get into what net cannabis revenue means versus total revenue. We'll ask that to Erwin in just 1 minute. Other interesting numbers: net income totaled a little bit over $33 million versus a net loss of over $84 million in the prior, in the prior year in the comparable quarter. Adjusted EBITDA came in positive.
This is the one that I'm excited about. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, man. $12.3 million of adjusted EBITDA. Almost three times what they reported in the fourth quarter of 2020, when they had only $3.2 million in adjusted EBITDA. This marks the ninth consecutive quarter of positive adjusted EBITDA, which is quite the feat for the cannabis industry and especially for Canadian licensed producers, right?
I think that's great, and I think the ninth consecutive quarter, that's a big deal. And certainly since we really started looking at this, over the last two plus years that we've been talking about, all these companies really, busting out the reporting and being transparent, I think it's been really cool to see some of these companies like your Tilray, right, reporting such solid growth quarter after mm-hmm. quarter after quarter, right?
Indeed. And I mean, the market reacted accordingly, right? In the morning, the stock was trading up 25% as of 2:37 p.m. Eastern time. The stock is up more than 26% on the NASDAQ And just for reference, today the SPY, right, the S&P 500 ETF trust is slightly down 0.05%, 0.06. So huge outperformance out of Tilray, good response from the market, and overall pretty cool stuff. Another metric that I really liked was free cash flow more than doubled from, you know, a little bit over 1.5 million to 3.3 million. Gross profits were slightly down. And with that, we have Tilray CEO, Irwin Simon. Again, NASDAQ, T-L-R-Y. Let's bring him on to discuss today's Q4 and full year results.
Irwin, how are you? Welcome.
Hey guys, how are you?
Great. We are great. We're excited to have you on today. I know the chat is blowing up already with folks interested in hearing from you. Why don't you give us your thoughts on how the results have impacted the company? I mean, we heard some really, really positive things on the call. So we're excited to hear from you.
Great. Great to be here with you guys. Great to see you again. Hope your summer's going well. Listen, it's been a busy year. And fiscal 2021, you know, for Tilray, Aphria at the time, has been a very interesting year. Whoever thought we'd be sitting here July 29th, you know, and actually July 28th, a year ago, and still be talking about COVID. But, you know, the year Canada was shut down since November in regards to its retail stores, and a lot of Europe was shut down. With that, we still sold quite a bit of product. We still introduced a lot of new products and pushed a lot of products out. At the same time, you know, we did the Sweetwater acquisition, 420, which at 420 this afternoon, I wish I could buy you a 420 beer. And, you know, we closed that in October and we announced the Tilray deal in December. And, you know, we closed that on May 1st and, you know, the Aphria combination became Tilray. We started to integrate the businesses, you know, effectively May 1st. We named a new management team in place. We've gone out and so far, you know, we've said we are looking for about $80 million in synergy. So far, you know, we have found about $35 million. Mm-hmm. You know, the fourth quarter ended the end of May, which represented 1 month of Tilray. And, you know, cannabis sales were up 55%, a profitable quarter, over $30 million in profit. $3 million in free cash. The company is sitting with $485 million, you know, of cash in the bank today, has the ability to do a lot of different things. So, you know, as I come out also, I put a plan out there for $4 billion by 2024. Some people might think I'm crazy or aspirational or whatever. So with that, I must believe in a couple things. I must believe more and more consumers are going to buy cannabis. I must believe that legalization is going to happen. I must believe that we're going to have a pretty good footprint in the U.S. And, you know, I believe that we're going to do other consumer acquisitions that will be adjacency to our beer business and our food business. So a lot of work to do between now and 2024. And I'm excited because, you know, what I've come back and see is if we could get what we got done in 2021 with our biggest markets closed down in a pandemic, and we've been able to do acquisitions, we will return to normal one day and just think what we can get done. And you know what? What I'm seeing is the demand for cannabis continuously is growing and demand for companies that will build brands around cannabis products is what investors want to own.
Indeed. Now, I mean, I want to come out off the gate with a not so easy question, right? You're not afraid of providing guidance when it comes to, for instance, synergies, right? You said we achieved 35 million in synergies to date. You are expecting 80 million in cost saving over the next, you know, 16 months. You are projecting, you know, your company's value. Why didn't you not provide guidance for the next quarter?
We will provide guidance, and we discussed it. What we want to do is see, you know, Canada just opened in June and July. I hope there's not a resurgence, you know, of the Delta variants. Europe is opening. So I came out with guidance. I wanted to have a little more visibility. I will tell you internally, we do have a plan in place. We do have a plan that, you know, we're looking for in 2022. But I would like to just have a little more visibility on the world and what's happening out there than I have to be able to come out there and give guidance.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I do. Mm-hmm. And just from my perspective, Erwin, I know the last time that you were on one of our shows, you're talking to Luke and Jason about, you know, your history, your trajectory and being an entrepreneur and some of those hurdles along the way and how you've built yourself and the businesses around you, right? I think it's really interesting that this truly ambitious vision to be a $4 billion company over the next, what is it, two to 3 years, right?
2024.
Yeah, I mean,
May 24th. Yep.
Yeah, that's insane. That's and so cool. So tell me, break open that vision a little bit. Break open, you know, what you see and how, you know, those steps to get there. Yeah. I want to know.
How do you make $4 billion basically?
Yeah. Listen, you come back and say, I'm going to grow 10% a year. And ultimately, if you go back and look where, you know, Tilray or Aphria was, you know, it was basically 3 years ago, 4 years ago, was a zero-based company. But, you know, we got to grow by growing geographically. We got to grow by doing acquisitions, new products. And the other big thing, it's aspirational because legalization got to happen. So it's something that, yes, it's out of my control, but I believe it. And how I, you know, came up with that numbers, you know, I worked with one of the big consulting groups and putting this plan together with my team. It's not a number I just picked out of the air and said, you know what, I want to be a billionaire. I want to have $4 billion mm-hmm. of sales. There's a real meat and potatoes and substance behind this, which I presented to our board. And we all bought into it. So it's growing our Canadian business to $1 billion of sales. And that's getting there by doubling our share in the marketplace today. Mm-hmm. And that is number one, more and more stores opening up. That is ultimately bringing in more and more consumers into the product, into the category. That is educating more and more consumers how they should be users, both for medical and adult rec. That is driving distribution and coming out with additional products in the drink category and the edibles category, and ensuring that we are a low-cost producer and that there's good value with our products, okay? So that's how we get to the $1 billion, and that's going from a 16% share of the market today to a 30% share of the market.
Mm-hmm. And is that's just in Canada that you're talking about now?
That's just in Canada. That's okay. Just Canada. So that's built around adult use, medical, cannabis 2.0, which is drinks and edibles. And then on top of that is additional store openings, you know, new products, and educating consumers about the values and the attributes of cannabis, both from a medical and from an adult use, okay? So that's Canada. In regards to Europe, we have a business today called CC Pharma, which is a medical distribution business that distributes to 13,000 pharmacies. And with that, we'll have the ability to distribute medical cannabis into these drugstores now that we have grow in our German facility and we have a Portugal facility. So my belief for Europe is number one, to grow our business with CC Pharma and to grow our medical business in Europe. And hopefully over the next year or two, I see whether it's Germany or other countries where legalization will happen in regards to adult use. So that is how I get to my $1 billion in Europe, and basically it's built around our CC Pharma, built around our medical business, and seeing some potential legalization happening, you know, with adult use. So that gets to a $2 billion business. You know, today we have Sweetwater and we have Manitoba Harvest. Together, they're about $160, $170 million business. I look to grow them just on new distribution to $100 million each. So that gets you to a $200 million business. And I look to do acquisitions in the consumer area, in food and drink and alcohol, that can be adjacencies to the cannabis area once legalization happens. So I, you know, like the alcohol area, I think there continues growth there. So do we buy additional, you know, craft beer? Do we buy some small tequila, bourbon company, et cetera? Do we buy some other food businesses, which I know well, that will, you know, complement our current Manitoba harvest? So that gets us to our $500 million in size. So there we are at $2.5 billion. The next big thing is this here. Look at acquiring options on MSOs in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And with those options that we would ultimately look to merge them into Tilray or buy them once legalization happens. And they are companies that, you know, have distribution or MSOs in multiple states with multiple product lines. And, you know, ultimately they have to be in the $1 billion to $1.5 billion range. So that's aspirational. That's, in full disclosure, built around legalization, future acquisitions. But there is a plan in place with businesses that we own today, how we grow those businesses. And just if you took, you know, our medical business, our Canadian business, our Sweetwater business, and, you know, our Manitoba harvest, nothing else happened, legalization didn't happen, I'm looking just to grow them to a $2 billion plus business, you know, by the end of 2024. But I expect to do additional acquisitions, and I expect legalization to happen.
So one quick follow-up, and I'm sure Javi has one too, but Erwin, when it comes to the U.S. market specifically, just diving in there for a second, I know you can't tell us which MSOs you're looking at, right, or would be, but when it comes to certain aspects that would be attractive to some sort of business combination, right, are you looking at folks that would have an eye on beverages or as much interest in that and sort of the infrastructure that could aid that rollout for you guys? Is it certain markets, you know, different states that are more attractive? Give us a sense of what you're looking at.
So on the MSO piece, I'm looking at brands, products, and the states that they're sold in today and the states they have licenses, okay? Obviously, I want the big states, New York, California, Florida. You know, I want to go where the people are and the population is. So that is number one. And going into those states is, what do I want to be first, a wholesaler or retailer, you know, or a grower? You know, I want to be a wholesaler. I will be a retailer also. You know, we have plenty of grow in Canada. And if we had to be a grower, we have plenty of experience. So I do want a multi-state. I'm also focused on both medical and adult use. Okay.
Okay.
So that's what's, you know, the criteria for us. And that can be $1 billion to $1.5 billion in size. So size doesn't matter. What states they have licenses in today, what is their product portfolio, and what makes that up, the retail aspect of it, the wholesale part of it, or the ultimately grow part of it. In regards, you know, to the consumer packaged goods businesses, I'm looking at businesses that are in the drink category that can complement Sweetwater and Manitoba Harvest. But when legalization happens, how would I integrate them into the cannabis or CBD area of the business? And of course, I'm not going out and buy, you know, kids' meals or baby food companies or anything like that. It would be the beverage category, which are major categories, 100 plus billion dollar areas, snacks, which are big categories, you know, bar category, which are major categories.
You know, in the comments section, Kurt Akers mentioned that you may need a partner, right, to reach that $4 billion goal. And I was thinking, I agreed with him at first. For me, in the coming years, especially for cannabis CPG, distribution will be the name of the game, right? But you didn't seem to be relying on external partners to reach these kinds of goals. You were relying mostly on organic growth and M&A, right? Are you considering any strategic partners from a distribution standpoint or any other, or is, you know, Anheuser-Busch InBev enough for you in that sense?
So, you know, listen, I think you got to look at the strategic partnership for the right reasons. I will tell you this here, that now that there is a bill proposed out there, a lot of the bigger consumer packaged goods companies do have a focus on the cannabis world. And if it did make sense for us, if it was strategic and made sense, you know, absolutely we would talk to a partner, and not just for distribution, that can help us with products and help us get to market quicker. You know, early on in my Hain days, you know, I sold 90% of the company to H.J. Heinz because of the years of, you know, they had behind them, the infrastructure they had in place, and the much deeper pockets back then, and which would get me to market quicker. So not saying that's what I'm doing today, but I believe in strategic partnerships. And if there was the right strategic partnership out there in the alcohol area, the consumer packaged goods area for us, in you know, personal care areas or pharma, absolutely, I would be interested in, you know, talking to that right partner. But it's not about, you know, bringing them as a partnership for their money. It's product development, product distribution, and know-how in getting to market quicker.
Very cool. Very cool. No, now I want to pivot for a second, Erwin, to Europe. You mentioned Germany. You mentioned your plans there. And I don't want to misquote. Is it CC Pharma? That's the company over
CC
there?
Okay. Pharma is, well, CC Pharma is our distribution business. And then we have, you know, Tilray Germany, which is our grow facilities, you know, in Germany today. And then we have our grow facilities in Portugal.
So is it too early to say, or is there, I mean, you mentioned that sort of magic number when it comes to market share in Canada. Do you have something in the back of your mind about this is where we want to be in the German market? And obviously as it expands throughout Europe and more, you know, more countries legalize and jump into the fray, is there a certain number that you're thinking there?
There is absolutely a certain number that I'm thinking there, but, you know, listen, the big prize in Germany is a, you know, adult use rec mm-hmm. legalization. That's the big, right. You know, 80 million yeah. people, you know, live in Germany. And I come back and I see legalization happening in Portugal, Israel. I see there's in Eastern Europe, in Poland, there's opportunities to be, you know, doing business there. So yeah, with having two facilities there, having the infrastructure that we have there, and I think a lot of companies have gone into Europe and they become fish and fowl. They're kind of caught in between here. We have a big base in Europe. We've made the commitment. We've made the investment. So we're there. So I look for Europe to be a big part. You know, again, in my Hain days, I built $1.5 billion business throughout the European market. Europe got 600 million people versus 320 million in the US. Yes, it's a little fragmented, you know, by country size, but, you know, take four or five countries. And, you know, I see a big opportunity still within the medical area and expanding the medical area, but there's a lot of work you have to do with the docs over there. There's still research we have to be doing to make sure we can prove science behind certain things in cannabis. But I look at, you know, Europe. I also come back and look at, you know, South America is still an opportunity, India, China. So I'm not just limited to US, Canada, Europe. There's India and China. We've shipped some CBD to China. I think there's going to be a time, you know, 1.3 billion people in India. Cannabis is used in a lot of medicines in India today. And, you know, once COVID gets behind them, I think there's some major opportunities in those markets.
Awesome. Well, I hate to do this, but I've got to duck and run for a call, Erwin. I'm going to let Javi finish with a few questions, but congratulations again. You guys are killing it.
Well, listen, you're as good as your last quarter, but we're focused. And someone said to me today, how do you feel to be on top? You know, listen, I'm nimble, flexible, entrepreneurial. And, you know, you always got 1, 2, 3, 4 nipping at your heels. And that's what you got to be focused on, is who's nipping at you, because you can have great quarters. But we're focused and we're energized, and there's a good, you know, market out there. So thank you very much.
My pleasure. We'll see you next time.
Thank you. See you soon.
Thanks a lot.
We'll go on though. You did bring up Germany a few times, and you suggested you see adult use legalization coming through in the next couple of years.
They thought I was finished. Sorry about that.
No worries. So you said, you know, Germany, right? You see adult use legalization coming soon. Can you give us a little bit more insight into why you say this and what kind of timeline you're looking at?
So all my intelligence coming back from, you know, all our people, all our government relations people saying the Green Party is looking to approve legalization come September of this year in Germany. It will take a year to 18 months before you get all the legalization and all the plans in place to sell it. So, you know, we have boots on the ground there. We have boots on the ground in Portugal, and our government relations people come back to us with those insights.
Then a couple from the chat. Austin wanted to know, or, you know, here's one from the chat. What's your edge, right? There's tons of capital lying around in private equity, they say, right? Anyone can kind of acquire an MSO. So what's Tilray's edge, do you think?
You know, our edge is our experience. You know, today we have the ability to grow 265,000, you know, kilos of cannabis in Canada. You know, we probably grow 195,000 kilos today. We grow, we process, we turn it into finished goods. You know, over three years, we've built out $100 million brands and developed multiple products around the world. So there's some expertise and knowledge. Have we done everything right? Not at all. There's a lot more we can and will do. Yes, there's a lot of capital out there, and it's, you know, throwing money at it is one part of it. But how do you execute upon that? You know, just think, look at the numbers that we've put up today, still with COVID, with stores closed, with doing two acquisitions and integrating them. You know, takes experience and takes a lot of hard work to do it. Money didn't do it alone.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, you can buy a car, but it won't drive itself, at least for now.
Exactly. For now, exactly.
A couple more and we should be done. Arthur Cisneros from the chat as well says he's a shareholder since 2019. His question for you, what U.S. cannabis sector do you think shows the most promise at this current market valuations, right? Like, is it beer, edibles, vapes, leaf, CBD, pharma? Of course, we kind of suspect where your answer is going, but the question to you.
Listen, I still come back and I say this again. You know, from an MSO, I want to be a manufacturer first built around, I want to be a manufacturer that markets brands, and that's where the biggest bang for the buck is, okay? But I do see the value in retail. And I do see the value in alcohol. Now, I see the value in alcohol that is not cannabis or not CBD, but I ultimately think, hey, one day, what is the next? And the way I work is I'm always looking at what is the next out there? What is the next White Claw? What is the next Truly? What is the next plant-based milk out there? Is it, you know, instead of, you know, Oatly oat milk has a major valuation. So is it cannabis or plant-based CBD milk out there in one day that we'll be putting into our coffee that's going to give us that little energy in the morning along with our coffee? So stay tuned.
Definitely. You know, I like this one before we finish. What's there to improve?
Listen, there's so much to improve. I'm a big believer. Every day I learn something new. And every day there's got to be improvement. And, you know, with that, you know, first of all, it starts with building out a great management team. It starts with, you know, building out your brands, your infrastructure, your processes, and, you know, efficiencies. So there's a lot of improvements that we have to do within the company to take it to the next level. And there's a lot, listen, if we don't improve and don't do a lot, we will not be able to get to the $4 billion business. So improving I always say this here, when you're green, you're growing, and that's why I'm wearing green.
Yep.
When you're ripe, you're rot. So it's important to be growing. It's important to be green. And it's important always to, you know, not live on your laurels, but basically forecast what you can really actually do out there.
Fantastic. Last one from AOV 273, myself and probably everyone in the chat. What are your concluding thoughts for your shareholders and shareholders to be?
So number one, my concluding thoughts is, listen, I know, and one thing about having a lot of retail shareholders, you get the love mail, you get the hate mail, and there's always going to be good days.
Oh yeah, we know that.
Days, okay. And I got to tell you, there's times we're going to execute and there's times we're going to screw up. You know, yeah. I look for long-term support, long-term patience. And ultimately, you know, my commitment is to work 24/7 to make sure I can reward our shareholders. And that's what, you know, I want shareholders to know. Right now, we're out there looking for additional shares. And, you know, Tilray, when he did its reverse merger with Aphria, did not have any shares left. It's shares looking to do additional acquisitions and build out the company and get to that $4 billion aspiration. And I want to thank, you know, all my shareholders out there for believing in us and investing in us and sticking with us.
Indeed. You got to execute or face execution. Tilray, NASDAQ, TLRY, is bringing the execution for now and hopefully going forward. CEO Irwin Simon joined us at Benzinga's Cannabis Hour today. Irwin, thank you so much. And I assume we'll see you again after your next quarterly report.
Or before. You never know what could happen out there. So thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your summer and look forward to the next time we speak.
That was all for today. Don't forget to like and subscribe, comment, and follow Benzinga, Benzinga Cannabis. That's benzinga.com/cannabis. Follow us on social media, BZ Cannabis. I am Javier Jase. You can see my name there. You can follow me on social media as well. And if you speak Spanish, go to elplanteo.com. Thank you again and see you tomorrow for another episode of Benzinga's Cannabis Hour.
Welcome to the Benzinga Cannabis Hour.
There are more people who are in favor of legalization.
I saw the benefits of it for myself.
Home. They say it's where the heart is. They also say it's wherever you make it. They don't say. It's where you unload your stuff, get tired halfway through unpacking, use some boxes as furniture, realize your oven mitt's in a box that doubles as a nightstand, don't want to buy a new nightstand, and use a towel as an oven mitt instead. But no matter where you call home, Geico makes it easy to bundle and save on renters and car insurance. Easier than grabbing a piping hot pan with a towel that's a bit too thin and trying to quickly get it to the counter. Ooh, hot, 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 hot.
Yeah, I was a heavy drinker, but I didn't recognize what the people closest to me recognized. I ended up laying flatlined on a hospital operating table. Somehow the surgeons brought me back to life.
When your life depends on it, there's only one place you can turn. Karen. A recent independent study showed that 94% of Karen patients were still in recovery 90 days post-treatment. Visit caron.org/real. Karen. Real results, real care, real about recovery.